The following is a presentation of Remnant. I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needed. To draw on your virtue, believing.
Hi, this is Jerry Godsey, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
How do you feel when somebody tells you thank you? Isn't that a nice feeling? And yet, it amazes me sometimes what a simple thank you will do. Just saying thank you. And we are so quick to not say thank you. You know, I held the door open for some people the other day, and they walked in, and the adults didn't say a word, but the little 8-year-old or 9-year-old girl said, "Thank you, sir." And I thought, that's great. Now go teach manners to the rest of your family. The little child shall lead them, I guess is the way that works. But you know, when's the last time you just said thank you? Thanks. See, I believe firmly that as Christians, we should have what this message talks about today, an attitude of gratitude. As Christians, we should say thank you. As Christians, we should show that we are grateful for what is done to us, what is done with us, and what God has done. And unfortunately, most people aren't thankful. They whine. You ever have whiners? You ever been around whiners? I hate that. When I was a youth pastor, we used to do car wash-a-thons to raise money. You go out and get sponsors. And every car you wash is a multiple. So we did a bunch of car wash-a-thons. We raised like, $1,000 in 4 or 5 hours. You know, it's nice. One day, a couple of the kids go, "Mr. Jerry, we don't like car washes. We want to do something different." I said, "You know what? It's great. I got a good idea. It's called a trash pickup-a-thon." And you get those cool little orange vests, and you pick up trash on the side of the road, and they pay us per pound. "We like car washes, Jerry." You ever see Saturday Night Live? They had the whiners. Everything was, they just whined about everything. "Hey, it's a beautiful sunny day." "Yeah, it's probably really hot." "Hey, look, it's raining." "Yeah, probably going to flood." Remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? "Eeyore, how's the day?" "It's probably going to rain." And there are people that are like that. They got little scuff marks on their chin because they hang their head all the time when they walk. "I don't know what's going to happen now." And whenever you talk to those people, they're always going to talk to you about their aches and pains. Now, as I get older, I find I have more aches and pains to talk about. A lot more. And if you ever ask them how it's going, because you're going to hear a litany. "Well, my car's not starting right, and I got rheumatism in my back, and my hamster died." Go get a new hamster. They're disposable anyway, for crying out loud. Come on. I heard about a guy, that took his hamster to the vet. He took a hamster to the vet. That's like taking a Bic lighter in to be repaired. Just go get a new one. I have alienated the hamster crowd. All the people in the hamster. Godsey hates hamsters. I don't hate hamsters. I just don't see any reason for them to exist on the planet. Other than that, that's fine. Anyway, now that I've thoroughly ticked off half the crowd, are you grateful? And if you're grateful, do you express it? There's a great story in Luke chapter 17. Oh, by the way, check out the new logo. And you see it we had this lady designed it for us, and really did a cool thing. She's going to redo some stuff for us. So I told Jeremiah, I kind of like the one we had. I'm not sure I really want to do much changing, and I got to hand it to her though. She did a great job. So look at Luke chapter 17, starting verse 11. Now that you've had a chance to look at the logo. It happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, he's talking about Jesus, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, if you were a leper, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, if you were a leper, you couldn't just walk up to people. Because leprosy is a very contagious disease, and you had to ring a bell when you came into town, said unclean, unclean. Yeah, that's got to be good for your self-esteem. Can you imagine walking through the mall? "Don't touch me! Stay away!" You know, crowded times around Christmas, you may want to start shouting that when you go through. "Don't touch me! I have an infectious disease! Just let me near the nice clothes." Okay, anyway. I just gave every one of you an idea. You're all like, "That will work." That's why we come to church, because we learn important things. All right. So they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Now, the only reason to go show yourself to the priest was because you were healed. They went, and while still on their way, became clean. They got healed as they were going. Now, first of all, you need to know, if they had just stood there at Jesus and looked at him like some of us would, "What do you mean?" He said, "No, go share the, but we're not healed yet." And we would stand there and argue with him, wouldn't we? And we do that with God sometimes, don't we? You know, God says, "Hey, go do this." And we're like, "Yeah, but God, but see, here's the thing, God, you didn't think about this." You ever wonder why God doesn't just slap somebody? Just big hand coming out of heaven. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. The reason they pointed that out is because the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. 10 people got healed. The Samaritan, the guy that's considered the dirty half-breed dog, he's the one who came back and thanked Jesus. The other 9, not so much. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up. On your way. Your faith has healed and saved you." I want us to look at 3 aspects of gratitude or thankfulness that come out of the scripture. And the first one is this: there's no excuse to be ungrateful. There's absolutely no excuse for us to be ungrateful. We Americans, we love to make excuses. Don't we? We do. Nothing's ever our fault. I work for the sheriff's office, most of you know that. Nobody in our jail has ever committed a crime. It's amazing. It's amazing. None of them has ever done anything wrong, and yet they found themselves in jail. We hear excuses all the time. I love this one. Whenever they catch a guy, I had to testify in a case on this. They found dope in this guy's pants. You know what he said? "Those aren't my pants." "You were wearing them." "Yeah, I know, they were my pants. I had somebody else's pants on and they were carrying dope." And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. I'm walking around wearing somebody else's pants and just found dope in them. Happens all the time. I love this one too. And you see this on cops all the time. They go through the guy's pockets, they pull out dope, and he says, "Hey, how'd that get there?" "I don't know. The magic dope fairies must have deposited it in your pocket." When a politician gets in a bind, they always find somebody else to blame. Little kids learn how to blame each other very quickly. Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman, they learned how to make excuses. They ate the fruit. And by the way, I know, and I've told you this many times, I will keep telling you because I'm trying to get this in the mainstream consciousness. Everybody, the Bible doesn't say apple. The Bible says they ate a fruit. Personally, I believe it's a pomegranate. Simple reason. And there was one on the desk at work this week, and I told the guy, I said, "There's absolutely no way God intended people to eat those things. They're hard as a baseball. When you open them up, they're all purple. They're bitter. And they stain your clothes and your fingers. Why on earth would you eat that?" Anyway. So when Adam ate of the fruit, God goes to Adam and says, dude, I told you not to eat the pomegranate or fruit. Why'd you do it? And he says, Adam, check this out. The woman you gave me made me eat it. She did, Lord. She held me down. She used a hammer and cracked open the pomegranate. I don't know. Could have been a banana for all I know. Anyway. And I like that. Here's the thing. If you're going to blame it on somebody big. Hey, God, the woman, by the way, the woman you gave me, I didn't ask for her. You gave her to me. The woman you gave me. So really, God, if you think about it, it's your fault. You gave me the defective woman. It's your fault. And that's one of those times when you know God was in heaven thinking, you know, I could just smack you so hard. So then God goes to Eve, the woman, and she says, you're right, Lord. I did it. It's my fault. And that's not what she said. She says, the talking snake talked me into it. Now, here's the thing. If you're ever at the zoo and a snake starts talking to you about eating something, don't do it. First of all, snakes shouldn't talk. Remember how bad I talked about hamsters? Snakes are below hamsters. On God sees scale. And even though they had excuses, God still punished them. See, here's the thing. Just having excuses doesn't mean that you're not going to get in trouble. And these guys, well, they may have had some excuses too, and we'll go through them one by one. The first one waited to see if the healing was real before he went back and told Jesus thanks. Well, you know, I'm going to stick around. See, I'm going to see if it really works. See if these sound familiar to you. The second one waited to see if it would last. The third said, well, I'll go thank Jesus later. Right now, I got stuff to do. I got important stuff to do. Like what? You were a leper a couple of minutes ago. Trust me, your social calendar is not that big right now. You're going to wait and talk to him. And you know how it goes. We say, well, I'll go do it later. Later never comes. Fourth guy decided, well, maybe I never had leprosy. It was just a rash. It made my nose and ears fall off, but it was just a rash. The fifth said, well, I would have gotten better anyway. I like that one. I would have gotten better anyway. That Jesus guy didn't do much. The sixth one gave glory to the priests. The seventh one reasoned that Jesus didn't do anything anyway. The eighth one proclaimed that any rabbi could have done it. And the ninth one said, well, I was already getting better. I was already much improved. Do those sound like excuses we make? Something, you know, we pray about something miraculous happens, something really great happens to us, and we say, well, you know, do we stop and thank God? No, more often than not, we try and reason out a way that it would happen on its own anyway. Or I like this one. Boy, was I lucky. Lucky? What do you mean you were lucky? Luck is for rabbits. You know, and I've never understood why lucky charm, like a rabbit's foot is a lucky charm. Look, the animal was maimed for that keychain. How is that lucky? Now, obviously, we don't know if this is really what they're thinking, but being that they were humans, that's probably true. But when the one leper comes back, he kind of validates what Jesus did. And that's kind of the way it's going to go. Look, if you do nice things for people, about 1 in 10 are going to thank you. Here's the thing. That family that I opened the door for, where only the little girl said thank you, if they were coming out and I saw them, I would still hold the door open for them, even though they're rude pigs. No, I mean, even if they were. Because I'm not doing it just so they'll say thank you. I'm doing it because I believe as a gentleman, that's my job. So do the right thing and don't expect people to be grateful for it, because a lot of people aren't grateful for what is done to them. Jesus asked, though, where are the other nine? Jesus expected every one of them to be thankful. And expects that of us today. There is no reason for you to be ungrateful. And look, everybody in this room, every one of us has gone through stuff. I get it. John Maxwell said, you got problems, I got problems, all God's children got problems. I understand that. I'm not saying that everybody in this room is everything is perfect in their life. It's not. I know that. But really, don't you have something to be thankful for? Don't you have a reason to be grateful this morning? Look at the second reason. Second thing. Everybody has something to be thankful for. I came across a newspaper article in the St. Petersburg Times. We'll get to that the slide here in a second, Jeremiah. Some local children made a list of what they were thankful for. Here are some of the highlights. This one kid said, "I'm thankful for my family because they love me and give me food." Andrew, age 10. Victoria, age 9, wrote, "I'm thankful for flowers and trees, oh so tall, for our van to go places, especially the mall." That's a girl who knows how to shop, guarantee you. She grew up to be one of those ninja shoppers. Ryan, age 7, wrote, "I'm thankful for furry little squirrels that bring great happiness to our lives." I don't get that, but whatever floats your boat there, kid. Maria, age 5, "I'm thankful for Thanksgiving because I like to eat ham." I like that. My mom did this stupid thing one Thanksgiving where we had to pass around the candle and everybody had to say what they were thankful for. Stupid. Don't do that to your family. Because after the 5th or 6th person, everybody's taking all the good stuff. "I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for my family." There's nothing left. Everything good has been taken. It got to me, and I said, "I'm thankful for cheese." And my mom has this look, and I saw it a lot as I was growing up. She starts chewing on the inside of her lip right here. When I was a little kid, that meant that a spanking was about to commence. She gave me that look, and I was glad I was on the other side of the room because she's a pretty tough lady. She started chewing the inside of her lip. My son Christopher was like 2 people down. Christopher got it, and throwing gasoline on a fire, which is what Critter is good at, he said, "I'm thankful for cheese too." So Maria, thankful because she likes to eat ham. I'm with Maria. She's my buddy. "I'm thankful that my dad has a permanent job and my brother is in remission from leukemia." Wow. That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? And then this one that's going to be on the board. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving because it's a happy holiday. It's when families get together and have a time of celebrating God's goodness. The pilgrims are a good example to me because no matter how hard things got, God is always with you and will provide for your needs. When God provided for them, they did not forget him, but praised him with thanksgiving. Wow. Natalie was obviously the smartest kid in the class. Are you impressed with this answer? I'm 51 years old. I don't think I could have come up with that. But isn't she right? We're thankful because of all the things that God has done. She got the picture of what God wants. God wants us just to be thankful. God wants to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, here's the thing. When your money is you got all kinds of money in the bank and everything's going right for you, it's easy to be thankful then, isn't it? Huh? Come on. But when things are really going bad, it's a little harder to be thankful. In fact, the harder things get, the less thankful we get. In fact, it's not uncommon for us to kind of forget God all around when things get bad. In fact, we start blaming God. "God, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go through this?" And we will use better terms. We don't say that. We will say things like, we'll try to spiritualize it. "Yay, Lord." It seems like when you spiritualize, you always say, "Yay, Lord." I don't know why that is, but... "Yay, Lord, I know that I have gone through troubles and trials, and I thank you for them. Lord, why isn't my neighbor going through various trials? Bless him with trials too, Lord, so that he may grow as I am growing." Isn't that just a fancy way of saying, "Hey, God, I'm tired of taking it all. Give some to this guy." Isn't that the case? But again, none of you guys would do that, I know. You're more spiritual than that. I'm not looking around the room, looking down at my iPad, looking at my notes, because I don't want anybody to think, "Well, Jerry was talking to me." Yeah, I am, but I don't want you to know it. If you have nothing else to be thankful for, If you had absolutely no home to go to today, if you had lost everything, you would still be thankful. You still have reason to be thankful because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And whether you have everything or have nothing, that's really the important thing. So don't tell me you don't have anything to be thankful for. Don't tell me that there's no reason for you to be thankful. Yeah, there is. In fact, let me give you something. A friend sent me an email that said this. They're going to be on the board. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of this world. Hello? Is that sinking in now? Well, it's not a very good house. It's better than 75%, but what 75% of the world has. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're more blessed than the million people who will not survive this week. You've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation. You're ahead of 500 million people in the world. You can attend church meetings without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death. You're more blessed than 3 billion people today. If your parents are still alive and still married, you're very rare, even in the United States. Now let's talk about a reason to be thankful. See, when we look around the prosperous West, we say, well, I don't have a car like him, or I don't have a house like they do, or I don't have as much money as they do. Just stop. Just stop. And compare yourself to the rest of the world. Compare yourself to, and the most heartbreaking place I've been is Nicaragua, where this little girl kind of attached herself to me when we went into this barrio to help set up for a movie, and this little 8-year-old girl, Naomi, attached herself to me. She must have thought the guy from America was kind of funny. She walked around with me all through the barrio. She talked to me. I didn't understand half of what she said, but she was telling me all the stuff and, you know, going on and on and on. And when it was time for us to leave, she cried because I was leaving. And I'd known this girl 2 hours. And when I asked the missionary, what's going on? She said, you've got to understand, you're probably the only male figure that has ever given her anything and not asked for anything in return. She's probably being molested by the adults in the neighborhood because that's kind of the way that place goes. So here's this guy who showed pure love and acceptance and just loved this little kid and didn't ask for anything back. You know, when I feel like whining sometimes, I think about Naomi. I wonder where she is now. She's probably 18 or so now. No longer, or she's probably 20 now. And I wonder where Naomi is and how her life is. We went to orphanages and I get choked up when I think about it. This school that the Assemblies of God ran, there were teachers there that had 60 people in their classes twice a day. And they showed us the place where they lived. They were proud of where they lived. It was on the edge of the school, and it was a place where they literally had just kind of put pieces of wood to make a shelter. And that's where these two teachers lived every day. And they served God thankfully. We stood on a floodplain outside León where 2 villages were wiped out. These people had nothing. We gave cars to little kids, Hot Wheel cars. I took a bunch of Hot Wheel cars and little toys. We handed them out to the kids, and the kids went crazy over them. A 98-cent Hot Wheel car. And the missionary said, it's probably the only toy they'll ever unwrap in their life. And I remember them at the church service. I mean, they had nothing. Their villages were wiped out by a flood. We helped them build little cement huts. They showed us their school. It was an army tent. And they sang choruses like, God is so good. He's so good to me. They smiled. They laughed. They had this incredible joy of the Lord. And I remember looking at them and thinking, I wish so much I was just like them. Because I went there, I was worried about my church at home, and I was worried about the board and all this other stuff. You know what? I got nothing to whine about. And neither do you. Come on. As Christians, we need an attitude of gratitude. We need to tell God, thank you. We're a blessed people. We need to be a blessed, thankful people. Not quite as fun now, is it? Third thing, Christians need to model an attitude of gratitude. It's our job. George Gallup reports that 84% of Americans claim to be Christians. 84%. Of those 84%, only 10% are deeply committed Christians. Now here's what they also found though. These committed Christians are far, far happier than the rest of the population. Committed Christians are more accepting of others than the average American, more involved in charitable activities, and are absolutely committed to prayer. Now, that's the 10%. That means that there are 74% of Christians who know little or nothing of their Christian beliefs. Now, obviously, that's not the case here. I hope. If that was the case, though, that would mean 3 out of every 4 of you. 3 out of every 4 of you would not be the committed Christian in the room. In fact, you can turn to your neighbor and say, see, it's you. No. Think about it, though. Think about it. Why are you going to call yourself a Christian if you're not going to act like one? Why are you going to call yourself a Christian if you're not going to believe like one? Why are you going to call yourself a Christian if you're not going to be thankful to the God who made it possible for you to be a Christian? And you're going to call yourself a Christian, you got to show it. We've got to model it. Now, my modeling days are obviously over. I was feeling convicted about it anyway. A swimsuit model. No. And every one of you went, oh, my eyes, my eyes. The picture you don't need in your head. I do my best to model Christ wherever I go, though. See, I try to never forget that wherever I am, I may be the only Jesus that people see every day. That's a huge responsibility. But it's what we're called to be. We're called to model that. And you know what? And we need to be models of gratitude. We need to say to the people that see us, hey, thanks for that. Appreciate that. I try to tell my staff thank you all the time. Because I'm not giving them raises, so it's nice to tell them thank you. Only one leper returned to give thanks. I want to be that one guy. I don't want to be like the other 9, the ungrateful punks. I don't want to be like those guys. I want to be the one guy. Here's the thing. If every one of us determined to be the one guy, think how different Imperial Valley could be. See, because we're here today together, but tomorrow we'll all be in different places. We'll be at different work, we'll be at different schools, we'll be at different families, all these other things. But think about if you were the one person that modeled thankfulness. How different would your life be, number one? Because here's the thing. When all you do is concentrate on how bad you got it, it kind of seems to go along, doesn't it? You start thinking about how bad your day is and then it gets worse. It's because what you're thinking about. How about being thankful? How about taking tomorrow and just saying, you know what, God? From today on, I'm going to be thankful about stuff. In fact, let me give you a scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, is this always easy? No. Because there are some things we don't want to thank God for. You're working on your house and you hit your thumb with a hammer. Lord, I thank you that I hit my thumb with a hammer. Thank you, Lord, for that thumb and that hammer and this throbbing, that pain that I feel. No, I'm not talking about that. But can you thank God that you didn't, you know, hammer your thumb off? Lord, thank you for letting me keep my thumb, although it's kind of black and blue and hurting. Can't you be thankful for stuff even when, and here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you, if you find yourself wanting to complain about something tomorrow, give yourself a reason to be thankful for it. You got to get up and go to work and you hate going to work? You hate your job? God, I'm thankful I got a job tomorrow. It may be no fun, but I thank you I'm paying the rent with it. How about that? When I was dating Lynette, I told her all kinds of bad stuff about me. None of it was true. Because I'm, no. Anyway, it wasn't true. I did things like that. I would squirt my, when I brush my teeth, I would squirt my mouth full of toothpaste and take the toothbrush and, you know, swish it around and then spit toothpaste all over the mirror. Well, that's not true. And I would take my underwear off and throw it on the ceiling fan. None of that was true. And I was hoping that somehow she would have such a bad, and she still married me, which is interesting. I was hoping that she would have such a bad idea of how bad I was going to be that when I really wasn't that bad, it would work out okay. Come to find out, not the case. Hey, look, you can find something to be thankful for. My wife can find things to be thankful for about me. Granted, it's harder to find, but you can do it. And really, I want you to think about it. How can you turn a complaint into praise? See, that's really the attitude of gratitude. Anybody can complain. And I know people that are really good at it. I tend to not talk to them in the hallway at work very much. I just don't need to hear it. I don't talk to Eeyore. You know, seven rainy days. I don't talk to him because he just depresses me. I try to be positive. And you know what? And I catch myself too. And I'll complain about something. And then I'll get really mad with myself for complaining. You know what? This week, I want you to make a conscious effort. In all your conversation, everything you do, try to be positive. Make a list of everything God has blessed you with. You ever done that? Make a list of everything God has blessed you with. Then when you get ready to complain, consult that list. You realize how minuscule your complaints are compared to God's blessings. And that's what it's all about, guys. Look, do you have things that go wrong in your life? Absolutely. Everybody does. You can choose to concentrate on those bad things, or you can choose to concentrate on the good things. My grandpa had a guest preacher in his church one time, and my grandpa was complaining about this one guy, and the guy was really a pain and was really a problem. And the guy asked my grandpa's a pastor. And so the visiting minister asked my grandpa, "Well, don't you have any good people in your church?" And grandpa said, "Well, yes, I do. This is the best church I've ever pastored. These are all great." And he said, "Then how about concentrating on the rest that are good and forget the one guy that's bad?" Can't we do that this week? I'm going to challenge you to do that. And let's see how your week goes. Your homework, or if you want to do Mission Impossible, your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to be positive this week. Go home today, make a list of your blessings. And I mean everything. Put cheese on there. And for Maria, put ham. God, here's everything I'm thankful for. Here's everything you've blessed me with. And carry it with you. Put it in your phone. That's where I'm going to put mine. I'm going to put mine in my phone because I always have my phone with me. Here's all the stuff I'm thankful for. And when I get ready to complain, I'm going to look at that list. Wow. That really doesn't measure up, does it? An attitude of gratitude. It's what God wants out of us. It's because it's what makes us happy. It's what makes our life complete. It's what makes us thankful for the good things God has done. Amen? Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.